smile. And something without warning love bears heavy on my mind.
I do love this song.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Camille Gets Fed here on WCOM 103.5 FM. LP. What does that LP stand for? Low power. That's why most of you are listening via the internet, via your phones, your computers. And if you are listening, thank you. If you know me and you have my cell phone number, text me and I'll give you a shout out. Thanks for tuning in. For those of you who do not know me, this is Camille Berry coming live to you from Carrboro at the Drakeford Library Complex. So excited. This morning, I've got in the studio with me Donna Dara.
Hi, Camille.
Welcome, welcome. Okay, this is wild. Donna, I can't hear you, and I just want to make sure. If any of my friends are listening, let me know if you can hear Donna on the radio right now.
Bill, can you hear me?
I love it. Okay, it may be my headset, because this happened last time where I couldn't hear the guest very well. So please text, let us know if you can hear. Yay, Linda. Okay, so you can hear us? Linda says, hi, Donna. Hi, Camille. Can you hear both Linda, can you hear Donna? Donna, let's hear you.
Hi, Linda. How are you today?
Okay. Linda is texting a lot. Yes, both of you. Okay,
wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Okay, we're in business now. That just reminds me, I'm going to have to figure out why I may not be hearing everyone else. Linda said she's having a lovely but busy morning. Thanks for asking. Okay. All right. So this is Donna's first time in the studio with me. Have you been in a studio before? Just one before?
Uh-huh.
Excellent. When were you in and what station?
WCHL.
Yeah. And why were you there, Donna?
We were there to talk about our business in Ooh. Chapel Hill.
Wait, we who? Who else was there?
My husband, Bill, and I.
Nice, nice. You were talking about your business. Yes. And that is why Donna is here. Okay, so many of my listeners know that I make it possible for people to say yes by inviting myself over for a meal. And Donna and Bill have not had me over to their home, but it's pretty much their home because they live there quite a bit. They may even be at the restaurant more than they are at home. And I promise not to make Donna cross, so I won't say that again. But anyway, what business is this?
It's the Casual Pint of Chapel Hill.
Oh, you all. The Casual Pint of Chapel Hill is an awesome, awesome third place. And you may have heard me talk about third place. Have you heard me wax on about third places,
Absolutely.
Donna? Yeah. It's that fun, casual, informal gathering place where you get to meet anyone. Donna, that's why I love going there. And it's why I love to sit at the bar. Also, Donna and Bill will talk with me. Not always. They are sometimes hustling. Yesterday when I got there, I was meeting a good friend, Annie. And boy, everybody showed up at 5 o'clock on Thursday.
Yes, and I was training a new staff person, so
oh, that's
it was a little crazy.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Jack, I'm yes. excited for Jack to join the family.
I am too.
Yeah, I bet. Let's see. Yeah, so I'm trying to think of the people that I've come into contact there. I just love it. You have regulars that I've gotten to know, and now I'm a regular.
Well, that's what makes, I think, the Casual Pint so special is the community that we just build there. And that's what makes it so just a wonderful place to be. As much as I'm there, I'm glad that I love being there.
Right.
And meeting so many people, new faces and old faces. So I've been in Chapel Hill for quite a while now. I don't live in Chapel Hill, but I've worked in Chapel Hill the whole time I have lived in this area.
So when did you come to this area?
In 1996.
Whew. What brought you to this area?
So UNC brought me here.
Okay.
And so with that, the story of actually why I chose UNC is an interesting one.
Okay, we got to hear it.
I don't know that you've heard this one. So I had graduated from Springfield College, where I met my husband, Bill.
Springfield College, is that in Massachusetts?
It sure is.
Where basketball was invented?
Yes. Woo! So another connection with UNC being such a strong basketball program, right? And, you know, where it all started. And so after I graduated, my degree needed me to further my educational career. And in order to really utilize that degree to its fullest, I needed to go on. So I wanted to go to school for occupational therapy. And I was looking in my area in my state of New Jersey to see if I could find an in-state school. And there was no program in the state of New Jersey for occupational therapy.
Really?
No. So I had to look in Pennsylvania and New York. And
okay.
The schools there were so expensive. And at this point, I was on my own now. I'm an adult. I'm paying for this on my own dime. So I need to figure this out. So I went to the library because back then there was no internet. And
I think there was internet, but it was low.
I don't even know. I'm not sure. Maybe.
I think so.
I never had access to it. I know that. So I went. So I don't know if you remember, back in the day, there were these huge books in the library that were careers that you could look up to see what you were interested in. And there'd be a whole list of universities that supported that career. And I looked in the book, and I saw North UNC as one of the options. And in it had the tuition next to it. And the tuition was so low compared to the Northeast schools that I thought there has to be a mistake. So I thought the comma was in the wrong place. So I called from a payphone from the library.
Wait, you were telling our age. Hold on. I wasn't with you, but I remember those.
Yes.
You called from a payphone. Okay, go ahead.
At the library. And called UNC and asked them if they think there's a misprint. And they said, no, that's correct. And I went home from the library that day, and I told my parents, I'm moving to North Carolina.
Wow. Okay. All right. Awesome.
So that was it. That was what brought me here. And then at the time, my now husband and I were dating for a little bit of time. And I was like, I need to move on with my life if he's not going to pop the question anytime soon. And to much the delight of my parents, to move on if he wasn't ready. So I said, well, I'm moving to North Carolina. Either coming with me or you're not. That's it.
Wait, we got to hear the rest of that romance. What happened?
So he came, and we only signed a 3-month lease, and our first apartment
was in
Carver.
I have to say that's smart.
Yeah, because I got a bigger apartment for the two of us.
Right.
But if he wasn't going to stay, then I could have used a smaller apartment. So just make a small time commitment, then if he wasn't happy, he could.
Less pressure for the two of you as well. Okay. All right.
So then, so then the rest is history, because now I'm still here since January 1 of 1996.
Seriously, January 1st?
January 1st.
Wow. Wow. Smart move, Bill. I just got to say, I know you're listening.
You better be.
That is awesome. Okay, so someone is texting me right now, and I don't know who it is, so you got to tell me before I start responding to those comments, but I agree with you. Let's see. So backing up, Donna, occupational therapy, why?
Ooh. So I've always kind of wanted to be in a helping profession and in the health field. And even in high school, I worked in physical therapy offices and was real interested in physical therapy. And when I went to Springfield, I actually got enrolled in, was accepted into a 5-year master's physical therapy program. And I became ill my first year there, and it became real hard to keep up with my classes. So the program was pretty rigorous, and there was no way to really delay a class. So I switched my major to medical rehabilitation, which really lets you dabble into all the different allied health fields. And so then there is when I discovered I really thought I preferred occupational therapy. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise. It just took me a little bit longer to get to where I wanted to go on my career journey and path. But, you know, it kind of brought me to a career that I absolutely loved and I was in it for a very, very long time. Still am. I am an occupational therapist.
Right.
Still. And I still use my degree at our business because when I landed here, I had a few different jobs, but then I ended up in the school system, the local school system here in Chapel Hill Carborough, and worked there for over 20 years.
Okay. And then you pivoted. Why? How did you make that turn?
So one was COVID, which kind of made a change in the school system, and it's real hard to deliver occupational therapy services over the internet to people with disabilities who struggle to really attend to a computer. And our profession is pretty hands-on. So that was challenging, but then also it brought challenging circumstances to our business. It changed the landscape to restaurants, to which we had opened just 3 months before the pandemic. When the Casual Pint opened.
So when the Casual Pint opened, had you imagined yourself being there full time?
No, not at all.
Okay.
This is going to be Bill's baby, and I was just helping and going to stay in my career until retirement.
Got it. Okay. I did not realize that.
Yeah. And so when I was, you know, needed to pivot away, we needed staff. COVID made it really challenging to hire people. And so I thought I'd be there for a short period of time and go back, and then I'm still there. But, you know, Camille, I've been working ever since before, you know, babysitting and things before I could legally work. And then certainly, working since I was 16. And I've really enjoyed almost every place I've ever worked. I'm just that kind of person that I'm pretty versatile, and I will enjoy whatever I'm doing.
Right. So you had to become a restaurant. Right. At first, it was just going to be beer.
Oh, no. We were a restaurant from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a lot because there's a lot of licensing, building things, and it took us a very long time to get open for various reasons. And we opened just 3 months before the pandemic. So before we could even really get started, we were kind of shut down. So
right. Here's one thing that I would like for folks who are listening to appreciate, because it has been since I've been going to your restaurant and chatting with you that I've learned you can't just put any kind of business in any kind of space. So here you have a restaurant and a beer, and you need certain access, right? You need the access to the water lines.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So if a space is already outfitted, then, you're kind of locked in.
Right.
Or you have to, I won't say that. But you have to, it's like a puzzle.
Right. So we went into a very empty shell space.
Right.
Which had its own challenges in the fact that there was no electric running to our space. We are under a apartment building complex. And so our space was built out, they never finished it. So it took us 3 years to pretty much get open after saying we were interested in this space because there was no electric.
3 years.
3 years.
So this is not for the faint of heart, people.
No.
Okay. Okay.
And so then after, you know, and I will say Bill took the brunt of this, my husband. You know, that was his job. His job was to get this open and, you know, and all the frustrating things along the way with city and county and, you know, all different people trying to get you open, but then also not necessarily all agreeing with what needs to happen. And so that is when you have to be very grateful for the local Chamber of Commerce, who really, really helped us navigate the different agencies and then connecting us with community resources that could help us cut through some of the red tape. And so shout out to former Chief Blue of the Chapel Hill Police Department, and then later on for the town of Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. But he was pivotal in helping us get open with the help of Aaron Nelson, the head of the chamber. And I don't know. I don't even know. Maybe we never would have opened if they didn't really kind of help us navigate those final steps.
Yeah. So I'm going to underscore those shout outs that you just gave. Mm-hmm. Thank you. One to the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Aaron Nelson, I believe in his 31st year or 32nd year,
I think so.
With the chamber. And huge kudos to the town of Chapel Hill's former police chief and former town manager, Chris Blue. I know both of those folks, awesome people. Yeah, that's something I've been impressed with this community is, and not just in Chapel Hill, but Carrboro, Orange County. We don't always make it easy at the government level, but then we try to figure out how to help make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Whether in the government or not. And those relationships, folks, are so important that we continue to talk with each other. Many of you know, if not all of you, know that I'm on the Chapel Hill Town Council, and it has been such an enlightening experience to see even greater detail how closely this community works together. Because before I was with the town as a council member, I served this town through a nonprofit community home trust. I worked there. This is about Camille being fed. And Donna, you have fed me so many times, not just with the food, which I have enjoyed. And as someone who is gluten-free or gluten-light, because Donna knows that I cheat sometimes, but you make those offerings, and it's not just the food. It is the space that you provide for us to connect with each other, and you connect with us, the customers. Thank you.
Well, that is why Bill and I love to do what we do. And when it can be really hard doing it day after day, it's the people that keep us wanting to stay in business every single day.
Yeah.
And the people that you meet, new faces that become like family. And then also people who I've had in my life for a really long time. Through connections with the school system who've supported our business or who didn't even know that I was the owner and stumbled in and then, you know, realize, oh my goodness, you know, and then they realize the connection and then they keep coming back. And so this town, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, it's a tight-knit community and very small.
Very small.
So,
very,
you know, everyone knows everyone. If you start to really talk about, you know, they talk about like 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon.
Right, right.
I think here, if you talk to anyone, there's
Is it two?
pretty much, right? Someone's going to know somebody that you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, working in the school system as long as I did, and I didn't work just at one school, Camille. I worked in almost every single
school. That's right. That's the gift of your role.
Yes. And then I was also assistive technology specialist in Chapel Hill schools. And so then therefore I touched every single school. And it just, really broadens your community. And so when people come in, I'll remember your face, and I just won't necessarily remember which school I knew you from.
Right. So don't you work with kids from the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School
District? I sure do. So the last 4 years of my work at Chapel Hill Schools, I was in the high schools, which was a bit of a transition. I'm really more of a preschool, elementary school, OT. And then I transitioned to more high school, and I really found my passion is helping the students, the older students, transition into adulthood and post high school.
Right.
And that is job training and, you know, or really exploring what they want to do, volunteer opportunities, or just, you know, how to get into different roles for being in the community, whether that's working at the community center on the grounds crew, or whether that's working in a coffee shop or whatever. So my last year and a half, maybe 2 years of working in the school system, I actually worked in the casual pint as an employee for the school system.
Shut up.
So my students, I would bring them in to do job training at the casual pint, but I was under the capacity of occupational therapy in the schools.
Right. So your focus was on the students and helping them to train for that.
Yes.
Shut the front door. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that I am there for no longer with the schools, I've continued that being a site for that program. And so now other people will bring those students to me, and then I help navigate for new students every single semester. We navigate what they can do to really help us open. Because of the time of day that we are open, it really lends itself more to helping us get the store ready to get open. And right now, I have a student, or a former student from last semester, who already graduated and is now doing an internship with us this summer. And he actually, I believe, is going to be starting a college program in the fall in Maryland, I think.
Okay.
So it's exciting to be able to still merge my passion and my skills as an occupational therapy with our business, and being able to use our business as a way to help the community and continue the path that I started.
Right. So this is an extension of who you are.
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Christine Cotton just texted to say that she's got not the greatest connection, but to know that she's with us. And I know that you all know each other. And we were just there on Friday. Again, and so many people, again, it's so small. This community is so small. When I say, oh, Christine, and you said, I know Christine. And also today I ran into Carol Stevens, who is a good friend of mine from Joe Van Gogh, you know, one of my other favorite third places. Carol asked me who was going to be on the radio show this morning, and I told her, Donna, and I showed her your picture, and I sent her the text for the promo, and she said, oh, I know Donna, because she goes to the Casual Pint. So, Carol, I'm giving you a shout-out. I hope you're listening. But Carol said that she knows Libby, who you know really well.
I sure do.
Yeah.
So Libby has a child with a disability who I have known since she was very tiny, and now she is a very much grown adult. But I did not know Libby all that well during the when I worked in the school system, because when I worked with her daughter, who's, by the way, is also the same name as you, you're the second Camille that
right.
I know. I worked with her in the summer. And when I worked summer school, I got to touch almost all of the students taking any of the summer classes. But that meant that I didn't really know their families all that well. And so really I got to know Libby afterwards, because I was outside of the casual pint helping to set up the outside. And Camille walked past me, and I said, "Oh, hi, Camille, how are you?" And Libby stopped and was like, "Wait, you know Camille?" And so then we started talking, and then, you know, so then we built that connection really post that, and then Camille, of course, was happy to see me and all that, so she could tell the connection that we had had. But so even so, I'm still forging friendships and relationships after when parents didn't even know that I was working with their child.
Right. And I have to say, as a parent, I love it when someone knows my children and is happy to see them. I know that I've gone back to businesses when my kids were younger and I was going out with them. They're now full grown and don't spend as much time with me. But when someone's face lights up, and when you just said Camille's name and you weren't talking about me, when your face lit up because you recognized her, I imagine that it was even bigger and brighter. That does something to a parent's heart to know that their child, you know, has that effect on someone, that that person sees our child. So thank you as a parent for seeing for seeing our children as individuals. I keep texting with Bill here. It's funny. So what's happening? It's 11:26 right now. What happens in the restaurant? You guys open at noon today, right?
We do open at noon. And so that means right now, Michelle is probably...
Hey, Michelle!
she is probably trying to frantically get open, which might mean she's sweating bullets outside, blowing the patio, wiping the tables, getting the napkins out. She probably already did most of the inside, and Bill's probably trying to help her get maybe water jugs ready, or maybe he helped her blow outside or whatever. So in the summer heat, that can be pretty tough to get that outside ready and going. But our goal is to pretty much be done and ready to serve customers right at noon.
That's awesome. I remember there was a time that was back in the fall, and it was Thanksgiving, a weekend. I remember this well because I invited friends to go watch the game with me at your place. And someone said, "Well, what time do you want to be there?" And I said, "Let's go at 11:30 before noon." That just told on myself. I told on myself because they don't open until noon, folks. Anyway, thankfully, my friend could not make it. Ian, I'm talking about you. Ian couldn't make it then. He said, "Can I just meet you there at 12:15 I said, "Okay, 12:15, no problem." I'm so glad he could not make it there, because I would have been embarrassed having him out there early. And I think I waltzed in at noon thinking I was running later than I had planned. You all said, "Oh, we just opened." I think I may have been the first one. But the game, folks, was or is the Ohio State-Michigan game. And that's a big game in my household. And if my friend Jason is listening, it's a big game in his household. Well, kind of, sort of. But anyway, I didn't go to Ohio State. I didn't go to Michigan. My former husband and my children all root for Ohio State. And when my former husband and I first started dating, July 1st, by the time we got to Thanksgiving, I was so sick of hearing about the Ohio State Buckeyes that I started saying, "Go Blue." He took it well. He took it really well, and would buy me little tchotchkes from it. But my kids cannot stand that I do this. They're like, "Mom." So I dig in.
Some of our staff do, though.
I know. I love. So Hannah and Ashley, folks, if you haven't been there, go and meet the staff. So not just Donna and Bill embrace you. All of their staff. So Michelle was listed, but Ashley and Hannah, both are from Michigan. Hannah went to Michigan, University of Michigan, and Ashley went to Michigan State. They're now here. They're second year. They're about to be second year School of Public Health masters.
Yes, for policy.
Yes. Oh, my word. And Ashley Smith, I just called you out, said, "Not you talking about Go Blue with two barf faces." That's right. But we appreciate the Green Spartans. Did I get that right? The Green Spartans? Okay, so there is sports in your background. We'll at least connect it to Bill's background. But is there sports in your background?
So, yeah. So part of why, actually, the reason I wanted to get on a healthcare providing journey was in high school, I ran a little bit of track, mostly to get prepared for soccer. And I was on a traveling team as a young child for soccer, but I was really more that rec kid, that kid that liked to play but was not really very talented. So in high school, when I was going out for soccer, I had an amazing physical education teacher who was the coach. And she had to gently tell me, I love your passion, you know, so I want you involved in this team, but it's really not going to be as an athlete on the team. So she had asked me to be her statistician, but then she thought that I would be really great suited to be an athletic trainer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we had a high school program that was almost totally not heard of at the time, where they trained a bunch of us students in athletic training. And because the head athletic trainer can't get to all the different practices and the games, so she would be spread too thin. So she thought, well, let me train a bunch of students that are interested in this, and maybe they'll go on to be an athletic trainer later in their career. And so I actually was featured on magazine covers called Kramer Athletic Training Magazine. And when I went to look at colleges or whatever, I had a leg up because all the time they had the magazine out on their table.
No way.
And then I'd be interviewing with them and they'd look down and they're like, is that you? And I'd say, yep.
So I thought you were going to tell me that you would bring the magazine, but they had
they had it because that was right. And so so it was an amazing opportunity I had in my high school. And because a lot of times for athletic training, they really want you to be a phys ed teacher first, or at least at the time they did. Now it's changed a bit, but and I thought, I cannot be a physical education teacher. That is not my strong suit at all. So that's when I wanted to switch to more physical therapy and then ultimately occupational therapy. Now you can be an athletic trainer and actually work out of a physical therapy office. But back in the day, you really worked in a school and you needed to kind of do both roles in order to be hired in a school.
Yeah.
So
remind me again, please. Repetition is good. Occupational therapy. What is that?
Ooh, good question. So an occupational therapist basically is where you are helping people with the skills of living. So when you are what you did today, you got yourself ready, you maybe went and got a cup of coffee with a friend, you came into the radio station later on, you might go to a place of employment, all these different things, very broad, fall into what an occupational therapist does. No, it's not vocational. You know, what you do for your job is really called vocation, even though we say occupation. So every little thing that you do in a day is considered your occupations. And we are either helping people regain that skill if you were to become injured or have surgery or things like that.
Right.
How are you going to be to regain your ability to do the things that you did every day? And if you're working in a school like I did, you're teaching people for the first time how to do the things that are important for them to do in their lifetime. And that can be social and leisure, or it can be playing. And when you're a young child, you're learning everything through play.
Right.
Writing, drawing, cutting, all those kinds of things. And then when they get older, you know, in the schools, you're looking at more technology and jobs and leisure activities you would do, maybe sports in the school or engaging in clubs. So we are about teaching people either for the first time or to regain how they live their life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you are the trainer, the primary trainer for your staff, correct?
I am.
Okay. And we were just talking about Jack,
yes,
who's joining the team. That's
yes,
very cool. That's amazing.
It is very much where I get to bring my skills,
right,
as an OT, and I can break stuff down into such small parts to make it easier to learn. Now, some of my staff have to humor me because I did not have experience in the hospitality industry. I did retail and medical field and things like that, but not. So for me, it was hard. And so some of them have to really humor me while I teach them the minutia that they may like find easy to learn. But they do.
And you all humor the rest of us. So tell us about your team.
Okay.
The current team.
So the current team, well, in the kitchen, we, which is probably the biggest struggle in a restaurant, honestly, is the kitchen staff. And they're the staff that doesn't really get to interact.
The unsung heroes.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
And so right now we have a person who just rejoined our team from our past, and his name is Jose, and he's really keeping everything together in that kitchen. And
okay,
then we also have...
But wait a minute. Yeah. I have to say, pause.
Yes.
Jose has the most beautiful smile, and when he emerges from the kitchen, it is wonderful. That's a gift.
He does, and he just brings joy. He likes,
yes,
to put joy in other people's faces. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And then there's Kent, and I don't remember when Kent started, maybe a year ago, but our original staff, though, had Kent's wife with, Kent's wife was part of our original staff before COVID. Unfortunately, she passed, but then Kent found his way to us now, so we get to enjoy him. And then there is another kitchen employee right now named Aiden, and he also works at the restaurant next to us. So we kind of share him and have to work out a schedule between the two restaurants. And
okay,
that restaurant is Osteria Georgie.
Yes. A wonderful place, folks.
It
check
really
that out.
It is. Chef Dan is amazing.
Yes.
And... Doug Poole was our kitchen manager for a long time and longtime friend. We've known Doug since we moved here in 1996.
Oh, wow.
And so he retired, but then still, you know, is very loyal to us. He does patron us regularly, but he also will help us out in the kitchen when we need it. So thank you, Doug. And then we also have a longtime customer named, we call him affectionately David J. And so he was our very first customer to walk through our doors. And
oh,
so cool. When we needed extra support and he had some extra time, he has a full-time career, but he would join us in the kitchen at times. And now he's still to this day. Will, you can sometimes find him there on Saturdays.
David, I didn't know that was the background. Okay.
Yeah, so he will come and help us out. So that's primarily our kitchen staff right
now. Okay.
And then out front, I think we talked about all of us.
Let's go through it again. So,
well, Bill, the number one glue to hold everything together,
His baby.
Yes,
right?
His baby.
Yeah.
Who, you know, talk about all the stuff he does. So he is there long before me, even if we don't open. During the week, we don't open until 3 o'clock.
Okay.
But he's there at 10:30 Wednesday and Thursday and Fridays because he has to accept deliveries.
Sure.
So otherwise, it doesn't matter if we have nothing to sell, right? And so deliveries happen all throughout the day. On Mondays, we are closed, but he spends most of that day doing the ordering for the business. And then we both work on schedule. He does back of house schedule. I do front. And then on Tuesdays, he's still doing some ordering and doing some other things as well. And then we accept deliveries Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And he is, then once we accept the delivery, then you have to enter it into the computer.
What? You just can't put it away like you do with your groceries?
No.
Okay.
I wish. And then, so he's doing all of that work. And some of that work entering that stuff in the computer is tedious. And then we have the pitfall, right? Bill and I are people. We love,
yes,
to be around people. And so when the regulars rush in, he still has work to do, but yet it's kind of hard and distracting when those regulars come in because you want to just be in their conversation and their life. And so he doesn't always get everything done, and then he's having to do it late at night or, you know, whatever. Oh, so
because we're so busy talking with you all.
That's right.
Right. Okay, so that's Bill. Then who else is up front?
Michelle, we mentioned. So Michelle, I only gave her the shout out because she's there this morning, but she is somebody we have also known. I believe actually with her, I met her in 1997. Mm-hmm. So we've been longtime friends. When Bill and I actually were able to take vacation once upon a time, we vacationed together often with Michelle and her husband, Mark.
Okay.
And so now they have to take vacations on their own because we don't really vacation very often. So she's been in our life for a very, very long time.
Right. And you have somebody else who works in the kitchen, now that I'm thinking about it. And then he comes out and he helps. He serves. And he just got back from France.
Yes. So Paul, who works both front of house and back of house, he is actually, besides Michelle, well, he's up there with our longest running employees.
Right.
And so, so he helps us with anything that needs to get done. So he will run food. He'll help us clean tables out front. He will wash dishes or the really things no one wants to do, get up on ladders and start cleaning stuff in that kitchen. And things that, you know, we need to get. Or he's strong, so he will help us get stuff out of the car and anything we need help with, that kind of stuff,
right,
too. And so when Paul was in France, we missed him greatly. Very pivotal to our business.
Yes, yes. And Paul is awesome at Camillary Finish because, folks, I have this running joke that I don't want them to take my glass. I don't drink much, but I want to drink it all. And so now he will not take it until he knows that I've gotten every last drop.
That means I trained him right.
He is so, and he just laughs because he's like, okay, Camille, are you done?
Yes.
I'm not taking it until.
Well, there are customers who will leave the bottom of the beer glass with some stuff on it, right? With little left, because they don't want to drink the end. And then there are customers who want the very last drop. And so since we don't know who's who, we have to pretty much say, are you finished with your glass? May I take it? And some people think you're insane. They're like, it's completely empty. Of course you can. But we have learned that you don't make any assumptions, and you just go ahead and take that glass.
Right. Right.
Or you do leave that glass till they say you can take it.
My friend Ann Jones. I said the whole name, Ann. Ann has tuned in. Ann, you know, she has been there a number of times on her own with her dad. She came to a summer solstice social,
uh-huh,
that title that I can't say very well. She came to that with her partner, Dan. And then they came back she came to that. She came to the social, and then
she was just on your radio show a few weeks ago.
She
right?
was.
Yeah.
She was my July 4th guest.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's tuning in. She wanted us to know that she's with us. So that is everyone that I remember. Yeah. And then Ashley and
Ashley
Hannah.
And Hannah, who Ashley came first. She the first time she's ever been, she was a customer. She was visiting to before she even got into school, and then she visited with her boyfriend and from Michigan. And then they loved the vibe so much that when she arrived in town and was getting settled, she decided she wanted to apply for
That's
a job
so
with
cool.
us. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And
That's
then
so cool.
Hannah, we got because of a referral from Ashley, being
nice.
In the same program. So
nice.
We've been very blessed and grateful to have had a stable staff for a little while now.
Okay.
Because Ashley actually mentioned, wow, it's so cool to see you in training mode again because you haven't seen that in a while. Well, there was a while I was so burnt out. I was training somebody every day for a month, and it was hard to keep people to stay.
Okay.
We have high expectations, Camille, for customer service and for cleanliness and everything else. And it's not really for everybody. And so sometimes people think it's going to be great and fun, and then they realize it's fun, but it's a lot of hard work.
There is work that gets done. Yeah. You all have a proud rating in there that you're required to hang, and there's that little QR code. Sorry, I'm showing my age again. The QR code that's on the door.
Yes.
You all work hard to earn that. What is that rating?
We have 100 rating, and we are proud to say we have never had anything less. Now, I'm going to knock on this next to me here because we are due soon for another health inspection. And so I'm hoping that we continue that trend. I know our staff strive for that every day. And I hope that our efforts continue to be rewarded by getting that score. But I will say, that is probably, besides our customer service, what people love about our place, they will always comment about how clean it is. Especially the bathrooms. They'll say those bathrooms are the cleanest bathrooms of anywhere in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. So we pride ourselves on customer service, community, building relationships with each other. Because that's another thing. Bill is extremely talented at this. So instead of the bartenders always talking to someone who comes in or a regular, introducing people to each other so that before you know it, the entire bar knows each other. The actual bar, not the restaurant part. And everyone knows everyone, and it's a community, and they live to kind of gather every day together to talk and to go over their day or just kind of forget the troubles of the day. And that community is something that really Bill has instilled in just what the Casual Pint is and represents.
I love that. I love when he does that. There was someone at the bar. I remember it was a Friday evening. I had just come in from Raleigh. I had attended. No, it wasn't Friday. Wait. Yeah, it was a Friday. It was a Friday, the first Friday in June. That's when it was. And I had just come in from a board meeting that took place in Raleigh. I'm a proud board member of Planned Parenthood South Atlantic. And we had our two-day meeting. That's how I knew what it was. But anyway, I sat down at the bar, as I usually do, unless I'm visiting with someone and we want a private conversation. But I sat down at the bar, and there was an empty seat to my left and then an occupied seat with a gentleman. And Bill came over and he said, Camille, have you met Luke? Luke, have you met Camille? And that was the beginning of an awesome transatlantic friendship. And Luke comes here how often?
So he was coming more frequently now. We actually thought we'd seen Luke for the last, before you met him, we thought we'd seen him for the last time forever and ever.
Right.
So it was a surprise when he came back, and just our faces light up when he comes. So he is from Belgium. And he comes because he has a very unique skill set that we cannot find in the United States, apparently, is to bakery that does the imported cookies,
Biscoff,
and he knows how to fix, train people on the machine and then fix it in the factory that makes them, which is maybe about 30 minutes from here, I want to say.
Yeah.
And so his company was constantly sending him here in order to do this. And then the last time before this last visit, they had told him, all right, this is the end. You need to be training people to do this without you. And because we cannot keep sending you. You're too valuable for us to keep sending you away. So we really said goodbye, and our faces lit up when he came back in the door. And then he said he'll be back, I think, in a few more months.
Yeah, yeah.
But he stays in the same local hotel, and he, will just come. And a lot of times we're his first place to come to after the plane. He'll take an Uber from the plane and or get a car, and he will literally drive right to us before he even checks in to his hotel.
Such a nice person.
Yes.
Such a nice person.
And his English has gotten so much better. In the beginning, it was hard because of the difficulty for him finding the words to communicate. And Bill really fostered that relationship really well. And then, you know, the longer he's come, the more he's learned the English much better. And so now he can freely converse with almost anyone at the bar. So it's been, it was one of those customers that just touches your heart and brings joy.
Yeah. I'm another, right?
Of course you
have
are.
To say that.
You are the one.
I'm one of the ones.
One of the ones.
It is such a delight to be in your space. And I have to say, I want to give a shout out. I had mentioned her earlier, and it's not about her, but she makes me remember that the underwriter of the show of Camille Gets Fed is Porch Communities, and our founder and CEO is Christine Cotton. And I say our because I'm on the board. I have the good fortune to serve on that board. I invite everybody who's listening to look up porchcommunities.org, see how you can get involved, whether it's supporting a porch that's already established in your community or helping to get one started. Go ahead and give a call, schedule time to speak with us, well, to speak with the staff about that. Porch Communities, as someone who faced food insecurity, Donna, and I think I know I've told you this story, there were a few years, not just one, not just two, there were a few years where I struggled to provide housing, and I moved in with friends there, and I struggled. Before that, I was struggling with feeding my family. Did we have enough? We had food, but was it enough? I'm very grateful to the pantries that exist here. And at that time, Porch supported IFC. So grateful to the Interfaith Council for Social Services for allowing people to go in, ask for and receive food, and maintain our dignity. So grateful. Now Porch Chapel Hill does not support IFC anymore, but it does support people here in the community. When I moved in with friends, believe it or not, I still struggled to feed my family. And so I went to Cora in Chatham County, also a Porch recipient, Porch supported. This is a way that we can help our neighbors, folks. If we say, something's going on, how can we help? We can help feed our neighbors. And it is tough to ask for help. It's even tougher when you can't receive the help. So let's make it a little bit easier. It feels really good to receive, but it feels amazing to be able to provide. So Porch Communities, please check it out. Thank you for that little thing. Yeah.
I'd like to touch on that a little bit, Camille.
Yeah.
So I, you had Christine on a few weeks back from Porch, and I know Christine also working through the school system. I had the greatest privilege of working with her son.
Yeah.
And he was one of the joys and lights of my life. And I had no idea until listening to your radio show, and I've known about Porch for quite some time and think it's a wonderful agency, and I had no idea that the boy that I knew as a young student in Chapel Hill Schools was the inspiration behind Porch. And the fact that he was asking his mom, Christine, to pack an extra sandwich to bring it to school, and she thought that he just was a growing boy and needed more food, and it turns out he was wanting to feed his friend.
Yeah.
And that just brought tears to my eyes when I heard that in your show, because I had no idea, and that really is who he was as a person, which is why I fell in love with him so much. And so I just, It just goes to community and goes to how we all help each other in this community.
Yeah.
And how much I can't believe that inspired all what Christine has done. And then the fact that it's not just Chapel Hill, that it has inspired many, many communities to have a local porch in their neighborhoods to help feed their communities. just touched my heart so much.
Yeah. And do you know, she talks about that often whenever she is sharing with folks. And so you all didn't get to talk about that, but it's amazing. And we talk about community and we talk about connections, which you were just saying. It turns out, and we didn't know this until I was well on the board, that Matthew and my son Anthony played Ultimate together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there is that connection. I love that my son is a compassionate person, and I love that my son is friends and shares community, as in community, with other compassionate people. It doesn't exist just here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, but it is so rich here, this community.
It is. And, you know, and then when we talk about, you know, the community of the people with disabilities in this community and how that is, you know, we talked about this community being small. That community is even smaller, but it's also more tight-knit. And so we kind of, you get those relationships and then they stay with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is another organization that was done by people who were occupational therapy students at UNC called B3 Coffee.
Yes.
And that is another extension of helping people after they graduate. As I don't know if you all know, I mean, the law says that we have to help people with severe disabilities until they're age 21 or 22. And then other people with less ability till about at least 18. And then a lot of times there's nothing to help support them. And so I know B3 in this community is, you know, very valuable to keep services going for this population. I was joking with Camille the other day that when I see their pictures, I'm jealous because they are out at all the festivals watching the music and that our community has put on, and Carrboro and Chapel Hill has such great activities, and I'm not able to go to these things because I'm really locked into being at the Casual Pint all the time. But I love seeing how active and engaged the people with this community is, and that B3 has really helped support where the school system leaves off. And I know that the families rely so much on this organization to help foster adult friendships, because that's what it's all about. It's about social connections and friendships into adulthood that maybe they wouldn't still exist because you're not naturally in the walls of a school building anymore.
Right, right. And so that's, I know Jacqueline.
Yes.
I don't know her husband
as well. I know
well.
Both.
Yes.
Her husband's Greg.
Greg. Jacqueline and Greg. Hey, Greg. In case you're listening to this, that would be a long shot, but hello. Hi, Jacqueline. I love our community, and I love getting to know more members of the community and bringing my community into the Casual Pint. I have a good friend, James, who came for, James, what was it? I think it was the summer solstice that he came, and he commented to me later. He said, I really like that place, and he told his son about it. And I enjoy bringing friends to meet up there. And there is a couple that I see there often, and they go, Camille, we see you here all the time. And it's funny, folks, if you say that to me, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, I see you all the time, too.
Right.
but no, we know. And I'm thinking about you, Jeanette and Neil. I get to see them there often, and it is just a wonderful place to gather with friends, whether those friends are someone who's sitting beside you at the table at the bar or friends who are on the other side of the bar. It's
yes.
just simply magical.
It really is.
Yeah. Oh, boy, we are down to our time. So, folks, we are wrapping up here. Thank you so much, Donna. We are at 11:59. I want to say thank you to WCOM-FM 103.5 once again. Folks, if you want to have more of this and music, please continue to listen in and also consider supporting our radio station. We're run by volunteers, and we do have to pay for the rent and the equipment. So consider making a donation. But above anything else, I want you to enjoy being in community. I want you to be fed by those in your community. And I want you to have a lovely day. A lovely, lovely day. Thank you.